This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for responding. I appreciate response. I want to recognize my wife of 47 years, Bonnie, who is the product or the creator of the handout that you have in your hand. So you can thank her for that someday if you get a chance. We've been in the business of counseling for the last 25 years. Worked in County Mental Health for 22 years, and now have a private practice. That we do is I start thinking how to spell retirement. So we're kind of doing 3 days a week of that, and 4 days at home doing other things with the family and other ministries. We have 6 children and 18 grandchildren that we appreciate and love, and some of this work has come because of them. Have you ever wondered what to do with your emotions? When you come up to a crossroad in how you must think or feel versus how you really feel, what do you do? When your feelings do not match your required statements in the church, what do you do? If we forgive and have no more bad feelings toward that person we forgave, can we forgive and not have any more bad feelings toward the person we forgave? In this session, we want to think about effective and ineffective ways to handle our emotions. Doing the right thing. Generally speaking, we usually understand that we must be willing to choose right actions, even when we don't feel like it. I might say, I forgive you, when inside I'm not feeling that way at all. I might be warm and kind to you, when I'm not feeling warm and kind toward that person at all. Also, we usually have some basic training from childhood in the need for repentance when we sin. Maybe we stole something, and our parents took us back to the store to return the little padlock and apologize to the manager. True story. As we grew up, we have been told countless times, don't do this or do this, didn't we? Our parents did that a lot to us. So we learned to do. If as we mature, we are not given instruction to learn obedience from the heart, we may miss some vital learning. It may leave a void in our heart if this does not change. There we go. Maturity brings with it a need to respond from the heart rather than just doing things. It is because it is the right thing to do. When the right thing isn't where I am, where I really am, there is a lot of value in that kind of godly training and way of life. However, if I have a lot of training in right actions, but we learn our feelings are bad, or our training mostly doesn't address our feelings at all, it may be hard for us to learn to deal with the things at a heart level. The Spirit moves the heart. For example, keeping up appearances by saying everything is okay because it is supposed to be, according to my parents, a minister, the boss, or even the Bible, when it really isn't how I'm feeling inside. Sometimes when we only have right behavior on a surface level, little problems start to show up. Feelings of resentment about something we said or think, we've forgiven. Gossip behind someone's back after we are warm and kind to their face. It can be tempting to address those kinds of issues by focusing on the right behavior. Am I doing something wrong? We might say, just don't think about resentful feelings. Just get better at holding your tongue. Or just push it down again and don't think about it. One of the problems with handling our emotions that way is we begin to repress them. And we want to talk a little bit about repression this morning and how it doesn't work for us in the long run, or maybe even the short run. Emotional repression. What does it look like to be emotionally repressed? Repression usually refers to the tendency to avoid uncomfortable feelings. You unconsciously push painful feelings, thoughts, or memories out of your consciousness. This many times helps you to forget them, at least for a time. You can put them in a garbage can. Now, in the back of your packet, you have something that looks like this. And it's just a pictorial of a garbage can and how we can, at times, feel just like that. We just keep taking our emotions and sticking them in the garbage can, and that can be a place that we think they're safe, and we put the lid on and keep it on tight. Emotional repression comes when we have had our feelings trampled on too many times. We have been told what our feelings ought to be by other more powerful people than us. We have been in abusive relationships when our feelings were not valid at all. But feelings give information, valuable information to us. Sometimes it might be about something unresolved God would like to heal. Think about that. Sometimes our feelings are about something unresolved God would like to heal. Sometimes it gives information on which kind of ice cream I like. Why do I feel resentful after I thought I forgave? Am I afraid? Am I still hanging on to something? Why do I want to gossip after I was nice to their face? Do I consider myself better than I think they are? Does it lift me up when thinking of them in a degrading way? Feelings help us understand ourselves. Okay, don't walk out of here, but emotions are not sin. Okay? An emotion is not the sin. What we allow it to bring in thought or behavior may be, but trying to control the behavior by not allowing emotions can be counterproductive. Is it sin to feel the emotion of anger? No. No, it is not a sin to feel the emotion of initial thought or emotion, but what we do with that emotion, either in our mind or behavior, may be sin. Our emotions may help us stay out of danger and protect us when we can be thankful, which we can be thankful for.
It's actually the beer that's getting the, so if you can use the handheld.
Okay, sorry. I guess my beard's getting in the way. I can mess with my emotions. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not, in Ephesians 4. So it doesn't say, stop being angry, does it? It says, be angry and sin not. That comes through thought and behavior. Is it a sin to feel the emotion of sexual desire? No, it is not a sin to have the initial sexual thought or feeling. But what we do with that emotion, either in our mind or behavior, may be sin. God made us emotional beings. Our emotions actually help us to bring God glory when we thank Him for how He has made us to enjoy certain things in their time. Keeping our enjoyment within God's boundaries is what we need to work on. The Bible says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. It doesn't say pray that you are able to stuff your feelings. Is it a sin to feel the emotion of a job well done? No. But we may begin to have thoughts of pride or exaggerated thinking about ourselves that could be or lead to sin. So should we refrain from having the emotion of a job well done? No. Our feelings actually bring God glory when we enjoy the job well done and give Him praise. Colossians says, and whatsoever ye do, do heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto me. Is that what it says? Not unto men, I think is what it says, isn't it? Maybe same difference. We want to talk about six effects of emotional repression. If I push down my feelings and just do more, will this help? It might work for a while to focus on the behavior side of things and ignore emotions, but it comes with a cost. One effect of emotional repression is that depression or heaviness replaces our sense of joy and peace. We may all have experienced this to some degree or another. We can't selectively feel. If we consistently shut down our feelings of anger and resentment or pain, we also shut down our capacity to feel pleasure and freedom. When we experience a lack of joy and someone says, just pray more, read the Bible more, or get involved with missions more, will it go away? No, it won't. A better solution might be we want to increase our joy through faith in what God has done for us, and by faith, live in peace and joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, Romans says. Our faith in Jesus, an understanding of His word, will give us an understanding of our way in life that will include our emotions. Emotions are not replaced by doing, but our increase of joy will motivate our doing. And I want to say that again. Emotions are not replaced by doing, but our increase of joy, that's an emotion, will motivate our doing. Along with this, we learn to allow feelings without shutting them down so we can experience God's joy and peace. Another effect of emotional repression is toxic shame instead of healthy, productive guilt. When we aren't attentive to our feelings, we might jump to stop our sinful behavior before we understand what we did or why we're doing it. Many times, experiencing the guilt of sin helps us to resist it. Toxic shame keeps us stuck. Shame that threatens, if you don't behave right, you must not belong to God. Or, if you're this bad, no one will love you. Or, if you don't straighten up, you don't deserve to be called a Christian. That type of shame is toxic to us and isn't something we should hang on to. A better solution, true guilt when emotions are healthy, checks out what God can do for me to have freedom from sin. That's what true guilt does. My guilt drives me to the cross for complete forgiveness. Healthy guilt seeks to understand the damage I've done and maybe even do some restitution. Healthy guilt or true guilt lives in peace with God through repentance and restitution if needed. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Another effect of emotional repression is apathy instead of empathy and grace. Apathy toward our own feelings. Here are some feelings I've heard from those that struggle. I don't want to feel anything. I really avoid feeling feelings. Feelings, they just cause me grief. And there are many other ways of saying it as there is people. Even when I'm struggling, I won't want to get the support I need to handle my emotions well. I'll prefer whatever numbing behaviors and coping mechanisms I've developed. And I have had many opportunities to set the feeling chart that you have in your packet down in front of someone, and they refuse to look at it. A better way, empathy starts with myself. This is what we want. So we might say, I want to feel my feelings and see what I can learn to stay alive and well in this for God to be able to use me. Empathy will understand our own feelings and be aware of the need of them and own them for myself. Apathy toward others. If I'm not okay with having feelings myself, others' feelings will seem threatening and uncomfortable and too much to me. Better than apathy is empathy. Empathy will provide the place to be able to feel others' emotions and truly help them struggle with theirs. Empathy will help me understand my emotions, and even in my personal struggle, will be able to and have capacity to help others. Look not every man on the things of his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we've seen Christ's empathy throughout the scriptures toward us. Another effect of emotional repression is being easily triggered. Anger. When I have a lot of feelings from a lot of events stuffed into my garbage can, anytime it gets bumped a little, some feelings will spill out. And I may get angry easily. If you notice on the top of the handout, there's a word anger. It's there for a reason. However, you could replace that word with workaholism. You could replace that word with promiscuity. You could replace that word with lots and lots of other types of feelings that would go along with it. The better way is I will learn to accept my feelings. We're going to get into how to do this a little bit. Keep the garbage can empty. In fact, kick it out of your heart and begin to understand your feelings at a level that you can actually live with them on a daily basis. Take care of them. They're a part of you. They're a God-given part of you. Learn to heal my brokenness by understanding Jesus' power to heal through the Holy Spirit's strength. Another effect of repressed emotion can be a lack of Holy Spirit power. Emotions are a God-given part of our heart. Don't ever forget that. If we won't allow the Holy Spirit to work with our present feelings, and we just shut them down instead, it's going to limit the power we can receive. If we won't let him in, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself in. Better, God wants our hearts, souls, minds, strength, and body, doesn't he? And what, guess what that includes? Our emotions. When we can understand that our life, when we can understand this in our life, we will soon see the peace that is ours. Another effect of emotional repression is difficulty in our relationship with God. Might we have a distorted view of what it means to have good communication with God? What does God want in communication with Him? God desires us to come to Him relationally, and this would include our emotions about what is happening in our walk with Him. We may have thoughts and feelings that we don't know what to do with, so they stay hidden. God invites us to pour out our hearts openly to Him and find peace there. I'm skipping over some of the scripture verses. You can read them. Instead of hiding our feelings, let's take them to Him. If we don't, they come up again and again anyway, don't they? How did the Apostle Paul do this when he was discouraged? He says in 2 Corinthians, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And it goes on and says more, but I think you're familiar with that. Yes, might we be able to talk to God and find out how He will take this from us for good? Casting all your care upon Him is what He asks us to do, isn't it? Do I struggle with shame and doubt of the past misdeeds that God might be wanting to take willingly? Where is forgiveness in our Christian view with God? Does God really take these things so that I don't have to feel guilt and shame? We must believe God when He says very plainly, we are forgiven, and explains that what that looks like to Him. Psalms 103, for as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Do we believe that? Can I list the transgressions and ask God what scripture might help me remove this? Absolutely we can and should not have any feelings of guilt after we have been repented of, they have been repented of, and ask forgiveness through faith in His Word. This is so important and vital to our relationship with Him and through Him by faith. Okay, that's about all I'm going to say about repression. It's kind of a ugly negative part in one sense, but it's important because it can be true in any of us at all times. The vital work of developing emotional mindfulness. And I know that mindfulness is kind of a new psychobabble catchword. Don't get involved with that. I like it. Maybe we need to go back and start at the beginning regarding feelings. Where do feelings come from and why? God created them. Did you hear that? God created feelings for us. This is really, really important. It is one of the most misunderstood parts of ourselves that I can think of. Misunderstood in that we are also uniquely made by God. It's God's way of making us an individual. He gives us our own feelings, separate from anyone else. And if you haven't written anything down yet, write this down. Feelings are individually us. It's really important to think about that. Jesus expressed His feelings in several ways, didn't He? Jesus wept. Jesus threw out the money changers, expressing His disgust for the defilement of the house of God. Jesus loved showed love toward little children. On the cross, he thought of his mother, and he even thought of the man that was nailing his hands to the cross. We need to own our feelings and be able to use them in sentences for better communication. David is a good example of this. Feelings provide clarity of thought and description. We need to be more mindful of our feelings and be okay with them, while also knowing we must be careful with overrating them. This is very hard for many. How can we simplify this and see the good in what God has given us? Mindfulness is being aware of your feelings and using them well. They are part of our perception of an event and may or may not be totally accurate, but still are our feelings. We need not deny our feelings, but be careful with them. You can feel feelings without them leading us to a sinful direction of thought. This is the goal. So what does healthy emotional expression look like? Emotional expression is simply the acknowledgement of these God-given emotions we are built to feel. Healthy expression allows us to understand the emotions, truly feel them, and move on. We want to use them wisely and not let them dictate all of what we do, think, or say. We want to be able to also identify others' feelings and empathize with others. God created feelings for our help in communication, loving, expressing desires, empathy, knowing why we need to say no, explaining our understanding of things much more effectively. We have these feelings when something happens to or around us. They are very important and yet can be misguided. Misguided because it is experienced from one side of the mug only. And we're going to come back to that. Emotional awareness. How to develop emotional awareness. Familiarize and broaden yourself with a feeling chart. And you all have one now, so there's no excuse. Be mindful of your feelings throughout the day. Do not be afraid of them. They are just your feelings and of value as God meant them to be. He lovingly records our wanderings and tears, Psalm says. Learn how David used them as he talked with God. Express them as you talk to God, yourself, and others, or in writing. Be okay to own them as yours, as God gave them to you. Some practical stuff here we're going to get into a little bit. A feeling chart. Y'all see it back there? It's actually two-sided. One side is negative emotions and the other side is positive emotions. They're not the only ones, but it's a good start. We can then form sentences that present your feelings. So I'm going to give you two illustrations of two people standing side by side, looking down a driveway, seeing somebody come up the driveway. The first person says, "When I saw you coming up the drive, I felt excited because I have not seen you for a long time." Another person standing right beside you says this, "When I saw you coming up the drive, I felt afraid because you were not nice to me the last time." Are either one of those wrong? No, they're not. They're your feelings about something. Really, really important to remember. Pick an event in your life and ask yourself, what feeling expresses that event? Look at the feeling chart, I dare you, and find it if you don't know. And then you can say, when I think of this event, I feel this feeling. Because, and give the reason for the feeling. You have just owned the feeling of that event. Another one is an assertiveness conversation recipe. And that's back there too. This helps you to own your feeling with another person and still convey your intended message. Very simple, but also very, very important. Feelings allow us to talk in I statements that can help us convey our feelings and thoughts more accurately to others. Because they're our feelings and our thoughts, the way we see it. Okay. My last one, and most important, because I figured this out. In a moment of frustration, I had a lady who was saying, I can't understand why he can't understand me. And they were trying to figure this. They had an argument about something. I don't know whether the toilet seat should be up or down. I don't know what it was. But something that they was trying to figure out. And all she could see was her side of what? The mug. Now, if I was to sit here and say to you, what do you see? You would tell me that you see Tidings of Peace Christian School. I'm doing a little advertisement for them. And I would say to you, you're crazy. I don't see that at all. That's not on that mug. Who's wrong and who's right here? Are we both wrong? Are we both right? What do you think? Okay, here's where you answer. Who's right and who's wrong? Why is it that you're seeing something that I'm not?
Perspective.
Exactly. Perfect. Thank you. Whoever that brave soul was out there. Yes, it's a different perspective. Does that make it wrong or right? No, it doesn't. But if we're to get along and understand this mug best, whatever that mug is in our lives, we must care about not only my side of the mug, but your side also. I cannot call you crazy because you don't see it like I do. But then we have to decide, so how are we going to do this? Well, if I'm in a couple session and I have a mug between them, I might say to the husband, wife, or ask your wife to come around and sit on your lap and see what it's like on your side of the mug. And let the wife come around and sit with him and see, oh yeah, you see something different. You see an address and a telephone number. Well, then maybe you should come around, husband, and see what's on my side of the mug. And by the time they do that, they begin to understand and see the whole picture. Not just them. We don't live in them. We don't live in a world of just us. We live in a world with all of us together. So this is important. So from now on, as you go about your daily walk, you can say, that's my side of the mug. And then you let the other person give their side of the mug, and you get to where you're seeing the real picture, the real story of whatever this is. Then you have something you can make a decision on. But so many times we get stuck on just seeing my side. And not everyone's. In conclusion, I want you to know that feelings was God's idea, not ours. And if it was God's idea, there must be some good in it. We must take care of it. We must handle it carefully, as God would want us to. I hope this has been helpful, and may God bless you with many days of joy and peace, which, by the way, are both emotions. I don't know how much time do we have left, Aaron. Okay, we have 7 minutes for questions. Not sure that there'll be an answer, but we will try if we can. Is there any questions or thoughts about this that you would like to share?
If someone shares with you, let's say, some negative or hard emotions, how do you validate them? What would you say to make them feel that you've heard them and you care about them?
Yeah. You say, yeah. That's all. The question was, if someone shares with you hard emotions, how do you respond to that? And it's just, yeah, I get it. I hear you. Because they're wanting to be validated, and they ought to be validated because it's theirs. I have no idea what theirs is. You know, so we can do that. Good question. Any other ones?
I've heard people say that joy is not an avoided state.
I'm not sure I can hear you.
People have said that joy is not an emotion, and they contrast it with happiness. They say that joy is the state of being or a knowledge that God has.
I'm okay with if they want to believe that. I'm really fine with that. The question was that joy is not an emotion, but happiness is. And if somebody wants to believe that way, it's fine with me. I'm okay with that. Any other questions or thoughts?
How do you validate negative emotions without reinforcing negative thought patterns?
Well, I would see those as two different things. The question was, how do you validate negative emotions without how do you say it?
Reinforcing negative thought patterns.
I don't think that we should ever say to somebody, you should not feel that way. We may help them learn that there's another side of that coin. Okay? There can be some good things can be happening, but at that moment when they're validating or they're telling you their feelings, I'm not sure that's the time to do that. I really object to requiring someone to feel a certain way. And I really object to telling somebody that their feelings are not valid. That's theirs. And it's God-given to them. It can be wrong. As we mentioned, our feelings aren't always accurate, but I don't think that we should take it away from them. If they say they have negative emotions, or they're giving us negative emotions and negative emotions and negative emotions, it might be a time when we stop and say, you know, I've just been tracking your negative emotions and positive emotions, and you're really on the negative side here. Is there anything good happening? You know, what else could be happening here that might help that out? That might bring them around to seeing some good in whatever they're going through. But I think that's after you have owned their emotion, their negative emotion. You have more credence in what you say to them after that if you have acknowledged that that's truly theirs. Good question. Any other questions? Yes.
To what extent should a person try to manage another's emotions? In other words, like what I'm saying is, if I present in a certain way and it triggers another person, to what extent should I try to shift how I present? I mean, maybe there's other things going on in a person's life. In other words, maybe the question doesn't make sense, but what I'm trying to ask is, you know, to what extent should we try to manage other emotions?
Good question. The question is, to what extent should I manage somebody else's emotions? Zero. really. I'm not in the business of managing others' emotions. I am okay with giving them another side of the coin or see, letting them see how I feel about something, but I'm not in the business of telling them how they ought to feel. Now, let's say somebody is digging a ditch and they really are not liking what they're doing. I might express to them the good that they're actually accomplishing and how I feel about that, because I can see the good in what they're accomplishing, to help them begin to shift their negative emotions to something positive. Now, I know that there's people here who are in the business of working with really, really difficult situations. I guess I still hang on to that.
I think my thought wasn't so much telling someone how they ought to feel, but trying to avoid making it happen negatively, like just trying to manage it by avoiding certain topics or certain.
Okay. Maybe this would be a good example. I ran a group of adults molested as a child. It was a pretty sensitive group. I went up behind a lady one time and put my hand on her shoulder as I was coming around her, and she just freaked. I triggered something in her. I won't do that again. I try to learn and be sensitive to that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's very close, I think. As well as, like, sometimes I'm in the business of education.
Mm-hmm.
But even just, you know, maybe trying to keep people steer clear, or even in my personal relationships with my family, steer clear of topics that I know are sensitive. Sometimes it feels easier than just dealing with the emotion that might flare up and talk about a certain thing.
I'm certainly good with that. Yeah. I don't think we should go around pushing everybody's buttons. I'm not into that. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Is there a point where that can become a balance? Like, if someone's triggered, you can call them a she instead of a he. You really are a she.
It depends on what you want to do with the fight. You know, if you're bound determined to make them a she, because that's what they are, that's one thing. But if you know, don't call them a he or a she, call them by their name. You know, just get away from it if you don't want to make a problem with it. Yeah. There are places in life where you're going to meet up with people or be in a business that you must deal with those heavy situations. And I would say get training to be able to do that well. Yeah. Questions? Yes.
Is it possible to help someone by pushing their button, that they have so many buttons? Because the trash can is that full, maybe you just don't push the trash can over for them. Can you help someone like that by doing that?
The question is, can you help somebody by pushing their buttons? Or knocking their trash can over? It's not my style. But I'm not saying it might not be helpful. There are times that I challenge people in their thinking. Absolutely. But I don't go around kicking their garbage can over. I like for them to take the lid off and pull a feeling out themselves and own it and deal with it. Yes. Any other questions? Yes.
Do you have any suggestions for how to help a child learn how to deal with those feelings in a healthy way versus throwing this all the time or repressing?
Say the question again as concisely as you can.
Sure. Do you have any suggestions on how to help a child deal with their feelings so that they're not hurting anybody around them or becoming aggressive?
How do you help a child get around how they're feeling to see it a different way?
No. How do you help them to express them in healthy ways instead of different ways?
By role modeling. By role modeling, be the role model. Yeah. And I've been told I have 0 minutes, so thank you all for coming. If you have other thoughts and questions you want to talk to us about, we'll be around the rest of the day. Be glad to chat with you.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from REACH 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from REACH or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.